And a very good Thursday evening to you on this November 7th. It is the Investors Bank High School Football Show. We are broadcasting live like we always do from Baker's Water Street Grill in downtown Toms River. Kevin Williams and Matt Harmon, soon to be joined by the third cog in the wheel, Ed Sarluka, as we get set for what is actually the final week of the first season of the high school football season.
Kind of the regular season.
kind of the regular season as we sort of get tuned up for the NJSIAA football playoffs. This is a huge weekend for a lot of teams, and a lot of teams looking to make the playoffs, looking to boost their chances. Division titles on the line. We'll go through all of that, and we've got a terrific lineup for you tonight. Joining us live in just a few minutes will be Toms River South coach Ron Signorino Jr. and his outstanding wide receiver and defensive back Darius Hart. Later on in the hour, heading down from Rumson Fairhaven, we'll have their first-year head coach who has yet to lose a game, Brian Batchelor, and he will bring with him the leading rusher in the Shore Conference, junior Charlie Volker. We'll also talk tonight with Brick coach Rob Dahl as his Green Dragons get set for the showdown tomorrow night against Jackson to decide the Class A South Championship. Our regular features with Monmouth coach Kevin Callahan, of course, our own Scott Stump from All Shore Media chimes in on this weekend, and of course Scott from ShoreSportsNetwork.com as well, as he chimes in on this big weekend of football, and we'll wrap it up with our football picks. Coach Sarluka, on his way driving in a panic probably, thinking that there's no chance we could carry this show without him, as he's returning from a week in Mexico, and as you said to me before, he can take his time.
Yeah, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. If you're listening on probably your mobile device right now, Ed, take your time. We did miss you, but everything will be all right.
And we're not ordering you a chicken quesadilla tonight. Sorry, you'll have to go without one. So, Matt, you know, hard to believe, you know, we sat here a couple of months ago, you know, previewing the season, and here we are in what for some teams actually is their final game of the season. And the final weekend before the NJSIAA playoff teams are determined, at least half of the Shore Conference teams are going to be in the playoffs, could be quite a bit more. But let's go back a little bit on last weekend and you know, an interesting one, certainly in the tumultuous Class A South Division, in which Jackson and Brick both needed to win to set the showdown tomorrow night for the championship, and they did, albeit in very different fashion.
Yeah, very different fashions, certainly for sure. You know, we saw Jackson in our game a week ago, and they kind of handled Southern Regional 28-6, the final score in that one. And you know, the one thing I would say about Jackson is they like to run the football, and that will certainly be, I think, to me, the big part of that football game tomorrow night, who can kind of slow down the running game and if Jackson can kind of be slowed down a little bit. But right now, you know, Juan Kostopic and his team, they got it rolling pretty good. I mean, I don't think anyone would have said at this point of the season that Jackson would have been 5-2, 5-1 in Class A South with a chance really to wrap it up and win the whole thing in what has been maybe the most difficult division to figure out all season long.
Matt, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, if you think about it, when we talked about the Class A South division before the season began, I think the consensus everywhere was Lacey, the defending champion, certainly rated the knot as the preseason favorite. If we put the next group of what we would call contenders, I think Toms River South and Brick Memorial were there. Brick maybe a little bit on the edge out. Southern, a team I think everyone respects for what they've done, and I truly believe, and if I remember sitting here with Scott Stump in early September when we got to Jackson Memorial, the verbiage was nobody really knows much about them. They got off to the great start, lost a couple of games, have come back, and as you said, have done it really on the ground, led by Connie Glover, who was our player of the game last week, rushed for 151 yards and was simply outstanding, and they have put themselves in position. Meantime, Brick, who we'll talk about a little bit later with Coach Rob Dahl, I mean, the cardiac kids the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, they haven't made it easy for themselves. and this past week, right in line with that. I mean, a 25-24 win against Lacey, a game that basically came right down to the wire, and Brick able to not only get themselves a touchdown late in that game, but making the decision to go for two and go for the win, and fortunate enough to do that. But, you know, crazy if you think about it. I mean, I think that the talk for them was how would Brick respond without their starting quarterback. But credit Joe Phillips, who did really a great job. And, you know, the one thing that they have in Phillips is they have a guy who played quarterback last year in that system. Noah has kind of moved his way into the receiver role this year, and also a good running game. Ray Fattoruso over 100 yards, 138 on the day. So, you know, I think the way that the season is shaken out, I don't think anyone could really argue that we'll see at least the best two teams this season in A-South because of the way that the year has gone. They played that way.
And, of course, Tom's River South with a big win over Brick Memorial. We'll kind of save that for a couple of minutes when Coach Sig joins us. Class B North, a typical Class B North week. Ocean 7, Wall 6.
Yeah, and I mean, talk about, you know, another division that's been difficult to figure out, but now Ocean has kind of separated themselves. They've locked up at least a tie for that division. And another hard-fought game. Wall had a lead all the way into the fourth quarter. They had actually scored, the Crimson Knights did, in the first quarter. But as you always say, and I think Ed loves to say this, extra points, missed extra points can come back and bite you. And in this case, it did. Wall had a kick that failed. They had a field goal attempt that they weren't able to get off either. But credit Ocean, hanging in, getting a fourth quarter touchdown, and winning a football game. And, you know, I think for teams like that, you know, every once in a while, maybe you think there's a game that maybe you could sleepwalk through a little bit, and maybe for Ocean that was a bit of their wake-up call. The other two teams in contention, at least going into that weekend, Long Branch and Mattawan, and for B North, a high-scoring game. You know, Long Branch won 17-13.
Yeah.
And 17 points in that division so far this year has been a big scoring output.
No doubt about it. The Shore's top two teams, Matt, rolled Red Bank Catholic with a convincing 41-13 win over Middletown South, the Eagles dropping to 4-3, which is, you know, something you don't see all that often. Manalapan remains undefeated as they rolled to a 42-7 win over Toms River North. A couple of the other things from last weekend, Matt, that I thought stand out. Barnegat loses its first of the season, falling at Lakewood on a Saturday afternoon, 21-14. Not only knocks them from the ranks of the undefeated, but it forces them into a tie with Central for the top spot in Class B South.
And the same thing I just said with Ocean, I think plays a role with Barnegat in that one too. You know, undefeated, feeling pretty good. They went into that game 7-0. And Lakewood, we had seen the Piners earlier in the year against Monsignor Donovan. They were beaten up at that point. And maybe for Lakewood, at least, it was an opportunity for them to make a stand. You know, almost say, we're not going to win Class B South, but we are going to have a say in who does. And Barnegat, you know, a bit banged up in the running game and, you know, maybe adjusting to how things could change. And maybe overlooked Lakewood a little bit, just starting to probably, in their mind, look forward to maybe, you know, as we had talked about last week, having a one or a two seed in that bracket that they are in South Jersey in the playoff picture. Now they're going to be fighting for a two or a three, and that is a big difference. The 2-3 matchup in any of those state games, big, because as a two seed, you get yourself a guaranteed two home games as long as you win that first one, a three, one home game, and likely a spot on the road in week two.
Absolutely. So just some of the other things real quick from last weekend. Colts Neck bounces back, rolls over Freehold Township. Point Beach tops Keyport, looking more and more like Point Beach and Shore Regional again for that Class B Central title. Good win for Modern Day Prep as they're having their best season in certainly a long time. Central over Mondon, 41-26. What a game for Javon Hardy. Really one of the best games any player's had at the Shore this season. 230-something yards rushing, rushed for 5 touchdowns, ran an interception back for another, all 6 Golden Eagle touchdowns. Just a premier performance. St. John Vianney with a nail-biting 28-27 win over Holmdel in overtime on a blocked extra point. And that pretty much does it. Of course, we'll save Rumson conversation for a little bit later on. So that was really it, Week 8. And, Matt, here we are, Week 9, and really you know, this is for some teams, you know, win or else. And as you said, trying to put themselves in position, maybe for a home game. Everyone wants that first round home game at the very least in the playoffs. A lot of teams will be jockeying for that. So it promises to be an interesting weekend. I think there's some really toss-up games of significance this weekend.
I think so, too. You know, we've had, I think, weeks in the past where you look at that last week of the regular season, and you're kind of like, oh, you know, maybe one, two, three games at the most. This week is not that way at all. There are a lot of teams fighting for their lives to try and lock in a spot in their bracket in the state playoffs. Also, divisional races might have some implication in this one. But it is really a pretty good week of high school football around the shore, and looking forward to seeing how things turn out. When you have those kind of coin flip games,
yep.
I think it makes for a pretty fun week of the season.
All right, we're going to bring in the guys from the home of the Indians. We'll watch them right on the radio here. You're going to put those headsets on, Coach, and Darius, and get yourself comfortable here. There you go. Just like speaking upstairs to the coaches upstairs when they send a play down and you tell them we're not calling that one. The heck that one.
Just got to watch how you respond back to any of our questions.
Yeah,
like you
exactly.
Would maybe some of the things that they say to you.
I got you. We're happy to be joined here by Toms River South head football coach Ron Signorino Jr. and his just fine senior player, wide receiver on offense, defensive back, defense safety, and kind of does it all, Darius Hart. And we're good to have both of you guys here on what is the eve of your rivalry game. They call it the Civil War, South against Toms River North. Maybe a little luster off that game. General perception, I know, not for you. But let's go back a little bit and let's talk about last week's game with Brick Memorial, because that was kind of that. The winner of that game stays alive here and there, and it's a big football game. What you had to be really happy was you jumped on them early, opened up a big lead, and posted probably as good a win as you've had all season over a team that had played pretty well.
Yeah, well, they had four wins coming in, you know, and of course, you know, we were a little nervous, you know.
And we good? Are we okay? He's going to look at it. There you go. We're going to go that way.
This way?
Live radio.
So yeah, this is great.
This is great.
I'm back. I'm here all week,
all right,
guys.
There you are. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, we were nervous going in. You know, they had won four games in a row. You know, and it's a program. You know, Coach Curry does a great job. You know, and they had won some big games. And we knew we could match up with them athletically. You know, we're pretty athletic. My concern was going in and dealing with their physicality. You know, it's a physical football team. And I think getting on them early and, you know, I think we passed that test. I thought we played really, really well.
You know you've kind of had a strange season. Good start, little bump in the road, couple of losses.
Yeah.
You were banged up. We're going to talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
But what's got to please you most is then when your season was really on the line, okay, what are we going to make of this year? You've responded and you've reeled off three big wins in a row.
Yeah. We were banged up. You know, that's not an excuse. That's part of the game. But we, you know, we were missing some pretty good football players. And, you know, now we're, you know, they're back. They're healthy and certainly contributing. We knew when we were at 2-2, you know, we kind of sat down and said, okay, here's where it's at. You know, what are we going to do? How are you going to respond? You know, you're going to just kind of, you know, take your ball, go home, or you're going to roll your sleeves up and let's get to work. And, you know, we can still play some exciting football and some, you know, have a real special season. And, you know, luckily, you know, I've been working, you know, with a great bunch of players and coaches, and that's what we did. And, you know, it's paying off so far.
Darius, what's been the difference this year, maybe just in the mindset of the team? You know, as Coach said, at 2-2, the way that the previous seasons had gone for South, it's been a little bit of a down period. So at 2-2, after you lose a couple of tough ones to Brick and Lacey, maybe there was that feeling of, are things going to go back to the old way? And is our season going to kind of take a nosedive a little bit? What's different this season than the last couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, we knew coming out we had higher expectations than the past few years. So after those few losses we had, we knew we weren't going to go back because we had high expectations to make the playoffs and possibly become state champions.
One of the things, obviously, for you guys, you know, so many people, I think, focus on the offensive side of the ball. You got some good weapons over there, you know, between yourself and Otis Carney and Tymier Berry. I hate to say, is there enough footballs to go around? But it seems like the times we've covered you guys, it seems like everyone is happy to just see the offense moving forward. I haven't seen a whole lot of selfishness between any of the players that you have.
Yeah, no, that's the thing with defense is it's hard to stop us because there's not one player you can stop. We got guys on the edge that can catch it and go up. Me and Russell, two big receivers you can throw to. And then we got speed in the back with Tymir, Otis, Khalil, and then a tough runner, Billy.
But the difference has been the defense was leaking for a while. And, you know, I agree with you. There's no coach that can make excuses of injuries because it's part of the game. Everyone suffers it. But you'd be a fool not to notice the difference in your defense from guys who were banged up a little bit, but especially the loss of Russell Messler. When he came back, it just seemed like the defense, and that was the night we did the Toms of Reese game, in which it was the swarming defense, one I have not seen you play all year long.
Yeah. It's besides getting Russell back, which he had only played about 8 plays in the Central game, so he really hadn't played much football. He cleans up a lot of mess inside. You know, he makes you look like you know what you're doing as a coach most of the time. but also as important is we've actually changed 6 different kids position wise, and since we've made that move with Russell coming back, the defense is certainly growing, and we're playing, you know, much better defense right now.
Brilliant moves by the defensive coordinator, right?
Yes, yeah, it was.
Coach, when you think about, you know, for you guys in terms of the way the season has kind of played out, we've talked every week just about the craziness of A South. Oh. And, you know, it's 1 week, you're here, and the next week, I mean, at one point we said we wouldn't be shocked if at the end of the year there was a 4-way tie with, mm-hmm. with everybody having 2 losses. Are you... Does that make it easier to coach week to week and kind of get the players up almost saying, you know, as you look at the schedule, there's no time that we could take a week off, you
right.
know, because as you looked at some other divisions, you might have a game that you kind of look past, and even
right.
if you didn't play your best, you're probably going to win the football
yeah.
game. But in the case of A-South, you got to bring it every single week.
You got to lace them up every week. And that's a great question, Matt, because what happens is you get a little complacent maybe if you got an opponent that, you know, really you should kind of have your way with. But like with A-South and even Central, I mean, Central's going on, you know, winning 5 games. So that, as we look back, that was a good win. So it's good to have that competition every week, and it keeps you sharp, keeps you focused. And we certainly have done that. And, you know, even North, let's be honest, it's a rivalry game. You know, they're struggling a little bit, but, you know, they're going to come out and, you know, play their best game tomorrow night, and we know that. And, you know, hopefully we're prepared. I think we are. But the fact that you have competition week in and week out is real good for the kids. It, you know, keeps them going and the coaches. And also, at one point, we thought maybe there might be 5 tied for A-South. That's how crazy it was. But be honest with you, we're sitting 2-2. You know, we didn't think at that moment, like, all right, hey, A-South's kind of out of the way. Next thing you know, all these things are happening, and, you know, everyone's beating everybody. And, you know, we were back in it up till Brick scored on that 2-pointer. You know, we felt, you know, we had a shot. So, yeah, A-South has just been – it's been great, you know, for A-South teams, you know, I think, and certainly good for the Shore.
Darius, I know last year was an improvement for South. I think you made the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
You actually played Lacey twice last year, lost to them both times in the playoffs. You made the playoffs, ended up with a losing record, but the difference, there was a noticeable difference from the year before. You were playing meaningful football late in the year. Now, here it is, November. You know, some teams are kind of getting ready to pack the equipment away.
Yeah.
You know, it's time to think about basketball and wrestling.
Yeah.
You guys very much obviously want to play football for many more weeks to come.
Yeah, we got a lot of basketball players, but we want to keep going.
That's Coach McIntosh's problem, right?
Yeah, I think we got starting 4 or something with us. So,
but what's it like to now know, like, you know, you have, like, you know, Toms River North is big. You're going to be in the playoffs. You're going to have a playoff game the following week. You think you have a good shot of making that at home.
Yeah.
It's been it would be magical to play a home playoff mm-hmm. game at Detweiler Stadium. I'm sure it's been some time. What's that mean to you as a senior?
Yeah, I mean, it feels real good because, you know, going back my freshman year, we were 0-10. And now my senior year, we're picking it up, making the playoffs. Hopefully we could beat North next week or Friday because that's a big game. Make sure we have a winning record for sure.
Sorry, Darius. How difficult, you know, going back to what I was talking with Coach, there's no off weeks in A-South, but ironically enough, probably the 2 easier games on your schedule have been against your 2 closest rivals. You know, East hasn't had a great year, and North has obviously struggled. But on the same fact, as you just said, a rivalry game, you know, those games automatically you get up and you get ready to play for it.
Yeah, when you're playing a rivalry team, you throw the record away because it really doesn't matter anymore. It's just down to who wants it more, you know.
And you know a win by them tomorrow night makes their season.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, it's been a long time since South has beaten North, has it not?
12 years.
12 years. It's been a long. Yeah, I think you're right.
12. I'm pretty sure.
It's been 12 years.
Too long.
That's right. And by winning, you would also win the Battle of the River, so to speak, which it's been a long, long time as well.
Too long.
Do those things mean something?
Oh, absolutely. I think any time, you know, you can say, you know, you're the champion in your town. You know, those are all things that we kind of point out to the guys. you know, just another kind of feather in their cap, you know, and it's been too long, you know, since, you know, South has had that opportunity. So, yeah, we absolutely, you know, we're going into this as a meaningful game. You know, it's a rivalry game, but at the same time, you know, it really hasn't been because we haven't done our part of it. You know what I mean? A rival game to me is you win one, you lose one, you win one, you lose one. You know, they've had our number, you know, and hats off to them, but, you know, we need to tidy that up a little bit.
You know, Coach, so far at 5-2, and then obviously the game tomorrow night against North, if you went into the state playoffs at 6-2, I would imagine that you guys have started to kind of dissect mm-hmm. that bracket a mm-hmm. little bit more. Maybe not giving it to the players and the kids yet because, you know, you have that adage, let's play the one in front of you. But an interesting kind of bracket. You know, it's you and Lacey in terms of the local teams, and then at least probably for our listeners, a bunch of teams from South Jersey that nobody really knows mm-hmm. a whole lot about, but always a very competitive bracket, that group four.
Absolutely. You had, you know, you had some of those old school group, you know, that are now group fives, you know, your Shawnees and whatnot are in that group. And, I mean, it's powerful. I mean, that Timber Creek team is just, you know, phenomenal. Four, I believe, is maybe just as good as five this year as far as the group five. There's a lot of good football teams in there. But like you say, we're not really, you know, we haven't really, Darius is kind of hearing this for the first time as far as the playoffs, but we're kind of settled in on tomorrow night, you know, because we know we have everything, you know, they're going to give us everything we need.
How about just from a coaching standpoint? I mean, how many times has you or anyone on the staff made any of those trips to just try and start to scout some of these teams that maybe you might see?
We actually started about 2 weeks ago. You know, we got some things covered. Hey, Coach, we got some things covered, you know, going on tomorrow night. And it's a crapshoot because you don't really know, but you're kind of getting prepared as best you can. You know, we could play anywhere from 4 to 5, maybe 6 different teams. So, you know, we're trying to do our homework and, you know, see what we can come up with. But it's right now it's a crapshoot. But we feel great that we're going to have a home game at Detweiler. You know, we just love playing. We love playing at our home.
Yeah, I've always said, and I think there's no better atmosphere on the shore on a Friday night than Tom's River South. Darius, you know, this is – I did a little research today, and I was kind of shocked to find South has not had a winning season since 2003.
Yep.
There's been a couple of 500 years, but a winning season, which obviously you can secure. But what has changed? You said you went back to your freshman year when it was 0-10. Has the culture changed? Has the expectations changed? I mean, obviously, the talent level is better. But what has changed where all of a sudden now you guys take the field on a Friday night expecting to win as opposed to maybe when your freshman year when you thought you were going to lose all the time?
I feel like that's the mentality we come in with now. We want to come in to win. No losing or none of that. And then we're buying into a lot of the stuff the coaches are saying. You know, this year there hasn't been too much discipline problems with the players and stuff. Everyone's listening, and we're just coming together as a family, more one. No one's trying to do everything by themselves. And you can see everyone scoring touchdowns. It's not just one player.
Yeah, you got five of them yourself. Yeah. But like you said, on 18 catches, 5 touchdowns, I think, something like that. Pretty good numbers. But you haven't been in a position where you've had to throw the ball a lot, certainly from the drop-back formation. And, you know, we've marveled a couple times we've gotten a chance to watch Tymir. I mean, he's a magician back there, isn't he?
Yeah, he's an amazing player, you know. When I'm going out for a pass, I see him scrambling and everything. I'm still waiting because I know he'll throw it up to me.
Coach, that does make the offense that you guys run pretty, not I hate to say easy, but it certainly makes it easier when you have that guy that is not just a run-pass option, but a guy that can keep every play alive. You know, I think the last time we saw you guys against East, he maybe had a 2-yard run that he ran about 50 yards just to get a 2-yard run. But he, you know, most other players probably would have had a 12-yard loss. He's a pretty special player.
Well, just for example, last Friday night it was 4th and 1. We went for it. Everyone ran. There was 10 other guys running one play. Tymir had messed up and called the wrong play, so he ran what he thought he called, and everyone else ran, and it was literally stopped. The next thing you know, he bounces out, wiggles, and, you know, takes it 47 yards. We find ourselves at times like, okay, Ty, it's time. You need to make a play. You know, he's that good. We have that high expectations for him, and it just makes it easier as far as if, you know, things aren't kind of going the way we expect them to go. You kind of feel, in a way, Tymir, you know, will kind of bail us out a little bit because he's such a true dual threat. You know, he can run, and he can make any throw you need to make, you know, need to be made. So
Ron Signorino Jr. and Darius Hart from Tom's River High School South joining us here on the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Grill in downtown Tom's River, and of course on 105.7 The Hawk. Coach, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you the unique situation. You coach with your dad. Mm-hmm. You were his assistant. Mm-hmm. He's now your assistant. Certainly, he's in the twilight of his career. For mm-hmm. you hope it's still your head coaching career is just blossoming. But I'm interested in knowing the dialogue between the two of you. Is it coach, or is it father son, or is it a little bit of both?
It's probably a little bit of both, but to be honest with you, when it's probably father-son driving into practice, you know, driving home from practice, but it's coach as soon as we step into our field house. You know, he's all business. He wants to, you know, get after it. And the dynamic is I'm blessed. I'm fortunate, you know, that I'm able to, you know, work with Dad, you know, at this career, you know, this point in my career and his career.
Yep.
And he's just been fantastic as far as, you know, putting some game plans together. And but it can get a little heated at times. I'll be honest with you. But now I have the last say, so I'm okay with it.
So if there is an argument, you're winning it,
right? That's
right.
I'm winning it now.
Darius, you had a little smile on your face as Coach was talking about that relationship. Is that something that you guys as players kind of pick up on where maybe go off in a corner and talk a little bit?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, there they go again.
Yeah, during film and all that stuff, you could just see the father-son relationship. I like to be around it.
And throw in another relative, the offensive coordinator, Matty Martin.
Matty's
doing a great job.
Oh,
nephew.
I can't. Yeah, can't believe I remember when he was born. Geez, now he's 31 years old, so it's going quick. But, yeah, they The guys get to hear Dad yell at me a little bit, and, you know, they kind of get a chuckle out of it. Yeah.
Because you guys can, so it's nice that somebody else can. You can drop one. Coach, do me a favor. Get on Coach a little bit. He's on me a little
bit. That's right,
Darius, how about for you? How's the college prospects looking?
It's looking good. You know, I got an offer from University of Massachusetts and Monmouth. And I've gotten a lot of interest from my junior to my senior year, so the road's been interesting, and I like it a lot.
Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, I'm having a good time with it.
You have any timetable in your mind? We know that signing day isn't until early February, would you like to get this thing done quick?
Yeah,
or
I'm leaving everything open. You know,
okay.
I'm having a good senior season, so I'm just trying to keep my options open. Maybe something else will come along, but. If not,
I'm going to assume you're being mostly recruited on the defensive side.
Yeah.
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 Safety.
Yeah. More looking at me for like safety, outside linebacker.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
You do know Matt's the play-by-play voice of the Monmouth University football team.
You look good in blue. You look good in blue.
Not that he's
in
reality at all.
I see you good in blue for sure. Yeah.
You know, Darius is fortunate. He's a very strong student. You know, so you know that you got to those
open
other guys.
Your options.
Absolutely. That's really has opened his options. So you know he's. He's the whole package.
Well, we really appreciate you coming down on the eve of what is a big game for you with a lot on the line. It is kind of been a breakthrough season. I know you wish you were playing tomorrow night for a piece of the A-South.
Yeah.
You'll have to sort of settle maybe for an NJSIAA title instead of that.
That's okay. We'll get over that.
But congratulations on what's happened so far. The magic is back over there a little bit. It's nice to see.
Thank you.
We are always... We're kind of throwback guys. We like when the traditionally strong programs who have a little bleep come back. Brick tomorrow night. Nice to see that.
Absolutely.
It just kind of means something. And it's great what you've accomplished. Who knows? We may be seeing you along the way at Detweiler in the month of November.
A few more games. Let's hope so. That would be great.
All right. Stick with us. First of all, Darius, good luck to you the rest of the season
Thank
and
you.
Whatever your college plans may be.
Thank you.
We'll watch you, Coach. You stick with us for 1 second because we're going to take a break. When we come back, we go from the Indians to the Bulldogs. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk. And welcome back. We are well on our way here as we get set for week number 9 of the high school football season. Still to come, our own Scott Stump will chime in on the weekend's big games. Monmouth University coach Kevin Callahan in his regular spot. Brick coach Rob Dahl on tomorrow night's A-South Showdown with Jackson. The game will broadcast on 105.7 FM. Our weekend football picks. But before we bring in our next guest, let's welcome in our third cog in the wheel, as I said.
Nice to be back.
Right back. I mean, the guy came back from Mexico, got off a plane.
I did.
And drove right here.
I was at the airport about an hour and a half ago.
Now, listen, you're not quite as dark as you've been in past years.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I think
I'm being sarcastic.
Yes.
You had a good trip?
It was a great trip.
Good.
Thank you. Thank
well,
you.
Good to have
Glad
you back.
Glad to be back and talking football.
Well, and we're going to talk Rumson Fairhaven football. We are joined here at the Water Street Grill by the first-year head coach Brian Batchelor and his outstanding junior running back leading the Shore in rushing. Charlie Volker, Coach Batchelor, we actually had on after week one.
Yes.
We talked about the 10 new coaches in the Shore, and he got off to the good start with the close win against Shore Regional. We had him on to talk about that, and we bring him back now because it's really meaningful football, though you probably tell me that every weekend is meaningful, right?
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about what this season has been like for you from when we chatted in September. You were a longtime assistant coach over Shane Fallon. Shane stepped down after last year, had an incredible coaching era at Rumson. You move into it. What's this season been like for you?
I think it's just an extension of past seasons. One thing that Coach Fallon always tried to instill is it wasn't about a team or a particular season. It was about a program, establishing it as a program. And, you know, like I said, Coach Schulte and I have been there for, you know, eight seasons under Coach Fallon, and now, you know, 1 year as a head coach. But having a veteran defensive coordinator like Jerry Schulte, and bringing in Charlie Perella to call the offense, Joe Murphy, you know, has been there for a decade. Coach Oreck does an unbelievable job with the weight room, and, you know, you see kids, to have kids like Charlie Volker that can run the football, it makes it special.
So really, in essence, what it comes down to is you think that there's a program there, and you were able to just pick up the pieces, and with the continuity that remained, the Rins sort of follow that.
Absolutely. I think it is. I think that, you know, as an assistant, I always did everything I could, you know, that was under my control, and I'm the same way as a head coach. I'm still the defensive backs coach. I still coordinate the special teams, and I just have a great group of guys. I think we generally really like each other on the staff. I think the kids can see that. There's really good leadership that way. And then you got to have the players. It doesn't matter how good you are as a coach. If you don't have the players, and he makes everybody look a lot better once he gets that ball in his hands.
Well, Charlie, you have basically come out of nowhere. Would you say that's an accurate statement?
Yeah, it definitely is.
I mean, you know, nobody really knew about Charlie before the season started, and now to have the title that Kevin just said, the leading rusher in the Shore. I mean, we're talking 45 football schools, the biggest conference in the state. That's quite a title to have. Tell us a little bit about what has made your season.
Well, thank you. It's definitely tiring running the ball as much as we do, but it's rewarding. And as long as the coaches give us something like a game plan to execute, we'll definitely get it done for them. And we've been able to do that successfully because we like train so hard at practice and in the weight room and in film sessions. We're able to just execute the game plan.
What about last year? What did you do last year?
Last year, I felt like football wasn't as big a part of my life, I guess, as it is this year.
Okay.
I think it's definitely more of a total effort this year. Like last year, you had kids like me showing up, and you make great plays on the field. But this year, we're doing great things off the field. We're on a
great
nutrition plan, and we're working hard in the weight room and in film sessions, and then just fixing and tweaking things at practice.
Let me give you the numbers, Ed. Through
Go
seven
ahead.
Games, 152 carries, 1,382 yards, and nearly 1,400 yards, averaging 9 yards a pop and 15 touchdowns. That's not bad.
No, there's no doubt he's been the most surprising story in the Shore. As, you know, I don't know if we could say that about the team, Coach, you know, because, you know, the Rumson program, as you had stated early, has been there, you know, and you have extended it. You know, to be one batting 1,000 for your career, though, has got to be, you know, I don't know if it's a surprise, but, you know, there's only one way to go after you win all these games, you know.
That's pretty funny. I still look at it. I've lost 23 games as an assistant at Rumson Fairhaven, so those losses are painful. We've also had undefeated regular seasons
right.
in 2009 and 2011. We've been to, you know, three finals since 2007 and four semis. We're used to winning. We expect to win, and I'm really excited about this week and getting to play Manasquan. I look at them as the measuring stick among public schools in the Shore Conference with their 11 titles.
And that's who you have tomorrow night. Charlie, at home against the Big Blue Warriors, having another fine Manasquan year. And obviously a team, as everyone said, you know, if you look at them as among the most storied programs at the Shore, and it's a home game for you, so obviously a lot on the line tomorrow night.
Definitely, there's a lot of pressure on us, and we got to go in there with a good attitude, both respecting that they are a good football team and they have had a successful season, but that we maintain like our level of confidence we've had like that and that we've been building off of since week one, and I think we'll be able to go in there and just get it done.
Coach, you know, it's hard to say that the turning point of your season came in week one, but that certainly was a big football game against a real good football team, a 13-6 victory over Shore Regional, their only loss on the year so far.
Sure. Shore, you know, Mark Costantino does a fantastic job there. He's got a good staff. Obviously, they were a veteran football team with Mew coming back at quarterback. I went and watched them last year lose the state championship in double overtime to Florence. And, you know, we knew it was going to be a tough task. I think it was a game where we didn't execute very well. I think if we play the game, you know, now, I'd like to think that the results would be a lot better for us. Obviously, Charlie had the two long runs in the game. With the veteran defense, my offensive coordinator, was his first game here, you know, high expectations, and we weren't able to throw the ball very well, and he just said, I'm not going to allow us, with the way the defense is playing, I'm not going to lose the football game. Okay. So we kind of just ran the ball and, you know, eked out a win.
So from that comment, I assume you let your offensive coordinator take over the offense.
Absolutely. He's in the Hall of Fame for a reason. In the South Jersey Hall of Fame, he's...
Who is that?
Charlie Perillo.
Charlie Perillo.
161 wins as a head coach, 3-0 in state title games. And, you know, he came back here to coach with me, and, you know, it really means a lot. It makes Schulte not the oldest guy on the staff, which he likes. He likes to call him Pops, which is pretty good. But, you know, it's great. We have a great mix of young guys that are 23, 26, 24, whatever, 24. And then we have the older guys, and then, you know, me in the 30s. I was quizzing Charlie on the way down as far as how old everybody was. And I won't tell people on the air how old he thought some of us were.
He failed miserably. So you're 7-0, and that's great. But it just so happens the way your schedule works that the two formidable opponents in your division are your last two regular season games, Manasquan tomorrow night, and, of course, the showdown with Red Bank Catholic on Thanksgiving. So it's really two one-game seasons almost as far as the division is concerned, right?
Sure, and you know, and in the middle of that, hopefully, is a state championship run. I mean, we've been scouting for the states for the last couple of weeks. We try to always do our homework and make sure. I mean, I saw Manasquan three times this year. Schulte's seen him four times. We watched all their games on film, just like Jay Price's, I'm sure, watched all of our film. Jay and I didn't even switch films. I said to Jay, I said, I know you probably have all our films. We have all yours. We know both staffs are going to do their homework and put the kids in a great position. But, you know, to answer your question about Red Bank Catholic, you know, I was on that staff with Jimmy Portella, and he does an unbelievable job. You know, they're going to have to play St. Joe's in Montvale, unfortunately, before they play us. I was hoping that they could, you know, have St. Joe's looming and be focused on that and not us, but... Jimmy just tells me they only serve one flavor, and it's vanilla. So,
Charlie, when you put up the numbers you do, and it's a running offense, although your quarterback, what he's had to, has been productive, but it's really a running offense. Needless to say, the big guys up front make your life better. Now, we always tell running backs here, when you're on the radio, you got to give the big guys some props. Otherwise, they start falling. You know, they do the lookout block starting tomorrow night. So, talk about the beef up front that has helped you rush for 1,400 yards.
Everyone on the line is great. We got Peter Riggi playing right tackle, and he's looking at Monmouth, and he'll usually help me like on pulling and the big runs, and having him run in front of me downfield is just. It's like having a freight truck in front of you. Then there's JT Jennings and Dan Morey, who also switch off at right guard. And again, just like a lot of like meat up there and great blocking. And Timmy Littlefield at center, who stepped up from last year a lot, and he's doing great also. And then backside, Tonino Salamini and Jack Horand, who are very instrumental on helping us like work out plays like the counter and stuff. They'll catch guys off guard.
Coach, if it comes a time when you have to throw the football,
sure,
can you do it?
Absolutely. We have full confidence in our number one, in our quarterback,
yes,
you know, Chase Caruso, and then also our wide receivers. You know, Sam Shaw is a kid that plays both ways. And he's been instrumental. I think Charlie has 12 runs of 50 yards or more, and Sam's out there, you know, just mauling people, on these long runs. And anytime your receivers block, it's so much easier to get open, especially with the play action and stuff like that. Our tight end, you know, Kevin Clayton, he's the defensive starter opposite Fidel. Doesn't get a lot of press. We haven't thrown the ball to the tight end that much. But you know what? At the end of the day, people still have to stop us running. And, you know, when they're geared up and that's all they're focused on, we'll be able to throw the football. We're not worried.
When you have numbers like Charlie has, it's easy to get caught up in the offense. But honestly, one of the strengths of this team has been your defense. Nobody has scored more than a touchdown against you in any game this year.
Knock on wood. I think that was our goal. We gave up 11 points a game last year. And to be honest with you, Coach Schulte and I, we looked at each other and we said our goal is to try to, you know, cut it to 7. You know, you go into a game, you're expecting people to be able to score a touchdown against you. At some point, something could go wrong.
You know, the championship game that you won, you know, a few years back,
2010,
was probably the best defensive effort I have seen out of Coach Schulte, not just Coach Schulte, of anybody against an outstanding Mattawan team. 3-0, wasn't it?
That was the one we lost.
That was the loss. I'm sorry.
We won 13-7. They didn't score. They scored on a – we left our offense out there.
It was just a tremendous defensive. That was a great Mattawan team.
They averaged 40-some points a game. I think that they won 20 in a row. They were outstanding. They beat us in the regular season that year, 47-21.
Right.
And our kids just, you know, we sat them all down, showed them the film individually as well, and being a teacher in the building helps. But they believed in our game plan. We told them. I had a very close-knit relationship. I asked Coach Fallon if I talked with him, and I said, we're going to win the state championship tomorrow. And we were the only people. We were probably 3 touchdown underdogs, but everybody thought we were crazy, but we believed it. And
Charlie,
we tried to do.
Have you been part of the Rumson program your middle school years, grammar school years?
Like Pop Warner?
Yeah, you know what I mean. Have you been in the Rumson your whole life?
Yeah.
Okay.
In Pop Warner, I've been.
You followed the program. You probably saw that game, you know what I'm saying, things like that.
Yeah, I definitely looked up to, like those kids.
The old-time guys, right?
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Old-time guys. They're 25 years old.
Yeah.
The old-time guys. Coach, you know, one of the things we talk about is this bizarre system we have here in New Jersey. You're going to play a huge regular season game tomorrow night.
Yep.
You hope that it ends up you have more points than them.
Absolutely.
Then you jump into the playoffs.
Yep.
1 week, maybe 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to play a regular season game again.
We're
aware. Then what you hope is the first week in December you're playing a championship game. I mean, we're always mesmerized by the whole thing. I can't believe it happens anywhere else in the country but here. Is it bizarre for coaches as well?
It is, especially when it is such a big rivalry and it is against a team, a quality opponent. I mean, if we had somebody in our schedule, I'm not going to badmouth anybody
right.
else. But if you had a cupcake on the schedule in the middle of a playoff run, I don't know if it helps you either, but at least you go out there and you're not trying to play against the best team in the short conference for the last couple of years. Which makes it a daunting task.
Do you know, has there ever been talk of moving that game away from, call it Thanksgiving, so it wasn't that situation?
Yeah, I'm sure there's talk about it. I mean, I don't get involved with it. We play the schedule we're dealt. I told the kids before the season started, I said, guys, every team on the schedule is capable of beating us, but we're capable of winning every game on the schedule, and we truly believe that as a staff. You know, why can't we win them all?
I'm sure you follow it a little bit more closely than we do. But right now in the States, Rahway and yourself are tied for the second spot. With a win, will you finish second, or can Rahway catch you?
With a win, we're number one.
We're number one.
Yeah,
that's good. Which is important because of the two home games.
Sure. We saw Wequeak the last two weekends up there live, and we saw Rahway one time live, and we'll probably see him again. We try to see everybody in our bracket. Again, the goal is to win a state championship.
Right.
We've seen everybody else.
Good.
We've seen Red Bank Catholic a couple of times as well.
Charlie, one thing you know, Manasquan will get you ready for the state playoffs.
Definitely.
Right? Because that's playing like a playoff game in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to tomorrow night?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a real test of our ability and capability of going to states and winning it.
You obviously know their number one goal defensively is going to be to stop you.
Yep.
I mean, have you noticed as the season has gone on that you've become like, I'll use the word, a target. But, you know, I think teams feel like, hey, if we can shut that Volker kid down, we got a good chance.
Definitely, and we'll just keep pounding the ball, or we'll find ways to alter our runs so we can continue running. And if not, we'll just revert to our wide receivers who are able to make big plays.
Yeah. That's a good answer.
Great
good
answer.
He's only a junior, but he's got it down.
What's your 40 speed, Charlie?
I have not tested it yet.
You haven't tested it. Okay.
He's 11.2 in the 100, probably between 4.5, 4.5 mid.
Great time.
You know, in that.
He doesn't get caught from behind, right?
Nobody's caught him yet. Knock on wood. He is a 4.0 student as well, so don't let
That's
me fool
great.
You.
And, Kev, you just said it. Only a junior, yeah. Obviously. So it's
good
tremendous.
For me. Good for
Brian,
the,
it, is, it has been a it's been a fun first season. You know, I remember when we had you back on week one, you jumped right into – you talked – raved about the staff, talked about that you're the figurehead, but you've got these great guys, and obviously everything has worked out as you could have hoped up to this point. So we'll wish you luck tomorrow night.
Thank you.
We like Jay Price very much as
That's
well,
okay.
by the way. We had him on last week.
We're both TCNJ guys.
Okay, there you go. So we'll wish you luck tomorrow night and obviously throughout the rest of the season. And I know it's a little bit of a trip the night before a big game, but we appreciate you coming down.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us.
Charlie, we look forward to talking to you next year as well, my friend.
We're
not asking you about college yet.
No.
Brian Batchelor and Charlie Volker from Rumson Fairhaven, the Bulldogs, with a big one, obviously, tomorrow night, and what they hope are many big ones left in the season. We'll take a quick timeout, and then we'll bring the Stumper in. Scott Stump after this. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk. And it's time for Scott Stump from SureSportsNetwork.com. You read him and on that site on a daily basis. A big football weekend coming up. Scott, obviously, with our guest tonight from Toms River South and Rumson, but we have not got into a couple of other big games this week, and you have Colts Neck at Middletown South and A North. Obviously, that's a good one. Manasquan Rumson, obviously huge. Jackson Brick is a big one. You still have a couple of the B South teams playing. So it's a pretty good week because Matt and I talked about it. It seems like there's been a lot of years where Week 9 didn't have too much hype around it, but this is a pretty good last week of the regular season.
Definitely, and I think with part of that is, you know, the ability of more teams to qualify for the playoffs, so you get more drama in the end because there's just, you know, more teams vying for spots. But you're right, between teams, you know, jockeying for high seeds or the number one seed, Brick and Jackson Memorial playing for a division title in addition to, you know, their own seeding boosts in the playoffs, and then, you know, a couple teams right on the fringe hoping to get a win, maybe some help. I think there's definitely almost every game this week has some kind of meaning to it.
Scott, if you had to pick one, you know, I guess the easy choice is the Jackson Brick one because of the division implications. But take that one out of the mix. What's the next best game that if you were a fan during the course of this weekend, you say, I got to go watch that one because of how good it could be?
Yeah, I think it has to be, you know, the one you were just talking about, Coach Batchelor, Manasquan at Rumson. I mean, in our top 10, that's two top five teams going at it. The winner is going to get the number one seed in their bracket. And I just think it's just a really good test for both of them as well as to see is, you know, they both play in separate brackets, Manasquan in South 3, Rumson in Central 2. And the winner of that, I think, will show you, okay, this team could probably – really go into its bracket and take home a state championship. And I think both teams are capable of winning a state title. So maybe when all the smoke clears, we'll look back on that game and say, hey, that was a game between two state champions. So I think that, and then, you know, it's been a great rivalry the last couple of years. Rumson's come into this game unbeaten, just like they did last year, and they got knocked off by Manasquan in the emotional game after Hurricane Sandy. So both teams have been really good. You know, Rumson's kind of trying to overtake Manasquan as that Group 2, Group 3 power in the area. So I just think there's a lot of great subplots in this game and really a question of which team is going to stamp itself as a team that could possibly go, you know, 11-1, 12-0 and have an amazing season.
Scott, this Central Jersey Group 4 bracket is just a crazy bracket. We're going to have five schools from the Shore play in it. And I would have to say the thing that the other seven schools do not want is to play Middletown South in the first round. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And especially if Brick has already played them once and lost to them. And Middletown South owns Mercer County. So I don't know if any of those teams would want any part of them either. But you're right. I mean, a Middletown South team as a low seed is always scary, but Yeah, I just think I like this bracket because it kind of seems like a free-for-all. You know, I couldn't really point to one team and say, hey, that's the team to beat in Central Group 4. I think it's pretty wide open, although this weekend's Middletown-South-Colts-Neck game, I think, will give you a little bit more of an indication of which one of those teams will kind of separate itself a little bit. But I think that could be the real fun of it, is that you just don't know going in. And you have a state champion from last year in Nottingham, which won Central 3, that got bumped up into this bracket. So I think this bracket could be a lot of fun with a lot of close games and no one really knowing which way it's going to go.
Scott, maybe more of a question for next week, but as Kevin and I were kind of getting ready for the show tonight, you know, he and I were both surprised as you look down the bottom parts or even the middle part of a lot of the state brackets. How many teams have the potential to make it with losing records? Have the playoffs become a little watered down, in your opinion?
I totally agree. I think other than some of the big school brackets like South Jersey Group 5 or Central Jersey Group 5, which have a lot of real quality winning teams in them, there's some of these brackets where teams that have two wins are pretty much almost already in, whether they win or not. I mean, that to me is crazy. I could see in certain instances, you know, like a Middletown North that played a really, really difficult schedule and can still get into Central 4 at 3-5 with a win over Fairfield Township. But in general, I feel like the new benchmark is not did you make the playoffs, did you make the playoffs and win a game? I mean, you look at some of these brackets, non-public Group 3 has games eligible for the whole bracket. So every year you're going to qualify for that as long as there's gas in your bus. So, you know, I think in some of those, yeah, it's watered down. I think the new sort of benchmark for success in a season is we made it and we won a first-round game.
Would be remiss if we did not get your thoughts on the game that will decide a championship no matter what, and that is the game we'll broadcast tomorrow night. Jackson Memorial visits Brick, of course. You know, there's been the asterisk with the Green Dragons, the health of Carmen Scalfani, who, because of that shoulder injury, did not play last week. But Joe Phillips, who was the starter last year, certainly played a marvelous game, especially down the stretch, and engineered a last-second win over Lacey. If Phillips is the man tomorrow night, can he do it 2 weeks in a row?
I certainly think he has a shot. I mean, he's experienced, he's athletic, and he has some help. You know, you have Ray Fattaruso, Mike Muratore back there running the ball. You have some quality receivers, even a freshman, Jazeer Taylor, who's emerged, had the huge catch last week against Lacey. Definitely possible, but, you know, I think obviously the thing you lose a little bit is Carmen Sclafani's running ability. I mean, he keeps defenses so honest because he's such a dual threat, whereas, you know, Phillips, also a good athlete, as we saw last week, can make some big throws in big spots. But, that's the million-dollar question. Will Carmen Sclafani come out there and be playing tomorrow night? And you know, the other side, Jackson Memorial is going to come right at them with the run game with Kenai Glover and Ken Bradley, and it's going to be up to Brick to stand up to that run game. So I think it's just an interesting game because in the preseason, these were two teams coming off losing years last year. I don't know how many people would have said this was going to be the championship game for this division way back in the preseason. So it's a real tribute to these teams and how much of a leap forward both of them took this year.
Scott, 9 brackets. We're going to have multiple teams in every bracket. Probably a better question for next year, but I'll ask it tonight.
Next week.
But I'll ask it tonight. Who's got the best shot? Is it Manalapan?
That is a very difficult bracket, but if Manalapan doesn't go 12-0 this year, I see that team just go. It's just never going to happen. I mean, this is the best team they've had in that school's history, and I just really don't see anybody stopping them. But, that's, you know, there's going to be landmines. I mean, the Sayervilles, the South Brunswicks, the Old Bridges, there's some really good teams in that bracket. But you're right, this year I'd be genuinely surprised if they did not win it all. And I also think in Central Jersey Group 3 in particular, I think the Shore has a really good shot led by Ocean. And then also, as we talked about, Central 4. I mean, I just think in Central Jersey there should be a big resurgence because even in Central 1, you got to feel like Shore or Point Beach most likely is going to be in that final, if not both of them. Rumson has a good shot in Central 2. And then you look in South 3, Manasquin and Barnegat have a very good chance to potentially be in the final of that bracket. So after getting shut out last year, I feel at least confident that the Shore is going to bring home at least one, maybe two or more titles.
I'm going to ask you one quicker one, then I'm going to let you go. Barnegat losing to Lakewood last week will likely cost them the sole ownership of the B-South Championship. Was that a blip on the screen, or was that a result of the loss of their leading rusher and maybe, you know, finally being challenged and not being able to answer that? Is that a preview of things to come in the States?
Yeah, I think it could be a little worrisome in the sense that they only ran for 20 yards in that game against Lakewood, which is, you know, fast, you know, swarming defense. And it really comes down to, you know, are you going to see Delcy now because you got the number two seed? That's the defending champion in that bracket. To me, that sticks out as the team that could really be a landmine for Barnegat along the road there. But it's all uncharted territory. I mean, this is a team that's never made the state finals, but at the very least, it looks like they will be on their home field. But I think that would be a little bit worrisome in the sense of, you know, you got to get that game going somehow because, you know, you can't really be totally one-dimensional and be able to make it all the way through the bracket.
Barnegat visiting Red Bank in a non-conference game tomorrow night. Central can clinch a share of the championship if they win at Manchester tomorrow night. You can get Scott's thoughts on all the games this weekend on ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Does a phenomenal job, and we're lucky to have him as part of our group. Scott, have a great weekend. Talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk with the coach of the Monmouth University Hawks, Kevin Callahan. We'll do that after this. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show at 105.7 The Hawk. And welcome back to the home stretch of tonight's Investors Bank High School Football Show. Still coming up our football picks. I think this is going to be a rather interesting weekend for the picks. We're going to have a lot of difference of opinions. And that's still coming up. Rob Dahl, the Brick coach, will chime in with us for a few minutes on the big game with Jackson tomorrow night. But as we do in this spot every week, we talk with the head coach of the Monmouth Hawks, coming off a tough 24-21 loss at Sacred Heart last week. That, of course, is Kevin Callahan. Coach, first of all, good evening. Thanks for giving us some time. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good, guys. I appreciate you having us on. Thank you.
Always good to talk to you. And obviously, last week, the slow start, trailed 24-7 at half, really got back in it in the second half before losing 24-21, a game that featured, you've had a couple of bizarre plays in the last couple of years, but it might have been the topper, and it was all over ESPN on Saturday afternoon. Just one of those plays that I guess, as a coach, you just kind of scratch your head, don't you?
Well, I do more than scratch my head. I talked to our team about that exact play today. Now that it's on ABC Sports and ESPN Sports and Top 10 Threes and Bleacher Report and Deadspin and Barstool and whatever other social media is out there, it seems like that's made the top so many plays of the week. And, you know, we're not happy about it. Going back to the game, it was a game that, you know, we started very slow, particularly on defense. They scored the first two possessions that they had, actually first three with a field goal. You know, and then we got ourselves back into it, and our defense played very well after the first 19 plays of the game. And then we weren't able to do what we needed to do offensively. So, you know, it was a missed opportunity for us, guys. You know, we had a chance to you know, get to the 5-4 mark and move ahead, and I'm not sure we did that. Matter of fact, I know we didn't do it.
Coach, the disappointment, you know, as you and I talk on Tuesday nights about Monmouth football, you know, I think after that loss at St. Francis, Pennsylvania, you mentioned the word angry of your team going into the Cornell game, which turned out to be a big win for Monmouth. What's the sense of the team right now after you know, a disappointing missed opportunity game against Sacred Heart?
Well, I think it's much the same, you know, and it wasn't as much as that I was angry at our team or with our team. I think our team was angry at themselves for missing that opportunity. And I think the same feeling persists, you know, this week as we come out of this game. Just noticing our guys during the week of practice, I know that they're a lot more focused. They're embarrassed. that you know, the NEC and Sacred Heart is chosen to sensationalize this play, and they're upset about it, and they got a point to prove.
Coach, this week Wagner, the Seahawks, come in at 2-7. Another outstanding running back you're going to face, Dominique Williams. But a team that has really struggled at quarterback. They've played four different quarterbacks. So I would imagine the defensive scheme is pretty slanted this week.
Well, it is, Ed. And you know, Dominique Williams is an incredible running back. He's a three-time All-NEC selection. He is just terrific. He's over 1,000 yards or very near 1,000 yards already for the season. They have struggled at the quarterback position. The last 4 years they had Nick Dosher in that spot, who was a tremendous athlete and a great field general. And I think Wagner is looking to find the guy that can replace him. And as you've mentioned, they've played four guys. This latest guy, a junior college guy from the state of Oregon, seems to have given him a lift a little bit. But it's all about Dominique Williams. He's the guy that you have to stop.
They are only 2-7, and you go up against a guy you're very familiar. You and Walt Hamlein have a lot of history over the years as being together and coaching against one another. He's obviously struggling this year, but I'm sure that despite the fact that you've got this long relationship, you'd like nothing better than to leave Staten Island with a win Saturday.
Well, you're absolutely right. The relationship will have nothing to do with it on Saturday afternoon. You know, I did coach under Walt back from 1981 through 1983, and actually three members of my staff were also members of the Wagner staff at certain points in their career. And their associate head coach, Tom Masella, I coached him his senior year at Wagner, and he was a member of the staff. When I was a defensive coordinator there, he was a secondary coach. So there's a tremendous amount of familiarity. I think if you look at the records over the years, and Wagner's a team that we've played every year since 1993, the series is dead even. It's 10-10. And it's always a rivalry-type game. It's a hard-fought game. It's a physical game. It doesn't matter what the records are. I think the proximity brings out the best in both squads.
Coach, as you look towards this week and then two more games after with Bryant and Duquesne on the schedule, is this kind of the time of the season? And I know probably going into each and every week, you know, you say you have an opportunity to play this team this week, but now you're kind of down to those last couple of games where you can say not only do you got to focus on Wagner this week, but there's limited opportunities to really make a statement for the season, and it kind of has to start with this week.
It does, Matt. There's three games left. That's the bottom line. We have three opportunities to go out and play. We have three opportunities to demonstrate the type of team that we are going to be for 2013. I think our players are fully aware of that, especially the older guys who are coming to the ends of their careers, and the end is in the very near future. They understand what they can achieve and what they have to do in order to accomplish that.
First of three straight noon kickoffs to close out the season. Monmouth heads to Staten Island on Saturday to take on the Seahawks of Wagner at noon. Again, you can listen to it right here on our Shore Sports Networks 1160 and 1310 AM. Also streaming live at shoresportsnetwork.com. Coach, we hope when we speak with you next Thursday, you've got big smiles on your face all around.
I appreciate that, guys. Thank you very much.
All right, and of course, you can listen to Coach Cal along with Matt Harmon every Tuesday night as they broadcast live from Jack's Goal Line Stand from 7 to 8 on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show, and of course, you can hear it on 1160 and 1310 as well. We'll take 1310 as well. We'll take one more break. We come back. We'll go back to the Green Dragons, where we'll be 24 hours from now or 23 hours from now, kicking off against Jackson. We'll talk with Brick Coach Rob Dahl. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk. We will be at Keller Memorial Field tomorrow night when the Green Dragons of Brick host the Jaguars of Jackson. Very simply put, the winner gets the Class A South Championship. There's some similarities. The one that strikes me, of course, is that both head coaches in their third season at their alma mater. The guy doing it for Brick is Rob Dahl, who's good enough to give us a few minutes of his time on the eve of this big game. And, Coach, I got to ask you, the feeling in practice this week, was it evident that there's more on the line Friday night than any other game maybe this season or any other game in quite a few seasons?
Oh, definitely, without a doubt. And thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, I think the boys know that, you know, we haven't had a game like this on this side of town in a long time. I think they're excited, and I told them about all the emails I got from various alumni members, and they get it, and they know it's at stake tomorrow night.
Coach, what's the, you know, you think about how the season has gone, and certainly with last week's win coming all the way down to the wire and then the two-point conversion to win it, what's the emotional state? You know, you talk about the highs and lows of a season, and you guys have had way more highs than lows, but sometimes hard to get up each and every week, especially after, I would imagine, a very emotional game with the win over Lacey.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, that we needed that win. You know, prior games, we weren't playing up to the caliber of football that I thought we could play, and I thought the boys really, really responded in the Lacey game with dealing with adversity, with Lacey scoring late, and then coming down and making that that last-second drive was great. And there's no need to even get them fired up this week. They know what this week is all about.
Coach, you know I got to ask you the magic question tonight. Your health of your starting quarterback, Carmen Scalfani. And a two-prong question, the second part being, I think you would have to have a lot more confidence in your backup, Joe Phillips, you know, in the way that he played last week.
Yeah, it's going to be Joe again. Carmen's going to be out. You know, Carmen's feeling a lot better. You know, he might be able to play tomorrow night, but he's just not where we need him to be right now. So it's going to be Joe tomorrow night. And, yeah, we're real happy what Joe did against Lacey. Joe did a spectacular job. I did a great job stepping in for Carmen. He managed the game. He made throws on play action when he needed to. And more importantly, I mean, with Lacey having her ears pinned on that last drive, they knew we were throwing. And Joe made the throws, especially the corner route to Joe Cedar Taylor for the game-winning score. He had ice in his veins and did a great job.
Well, you just mentioned the young man, a freshman. I'm going to guess, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, he probably wasn't even on your varsity roster back in September. Not too often does a freshman get a chance to play but contribute at a key time like he did last week, huh?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I'm a big proponent in leaving the freshman with the freshman and letting them all together, but he was just tearing it up down there, and we needed a guy to make plays up on the varsity level for us. And he's done that. He didn't play too many plays versus North, but still managed to score a touchdown on a corner route. And then he played the entire game versus Lacey, had a big kickoff return, made something happen out of nothing, and then had a bunch of key catches on that last drive to put us in the end zone.
Coach, what was that conversation like when you had with him? You say, hey, we're thinking about pulling you up. Was there any hesitation on his part, or did he say, great, I'm happy to make the move up, because that is a big jump in quality of play and obviously speed of play.
Oh yeah, he just stared at me like I was crazy, and then and then, you know, had like kind of held his breath, and I could see him swallowing the spit, and said, okay, whatever you need me to do, I'll do. He's very soft spoken, and he's filled with a lot of character, and he said, whatever the program needs me to do, I'll do it. I said, all right, we need you up.
Coach, I'm going to go back to last week in the last, few seconds when, the extra point is missed. You get the roughing the kicking penalty, and then I guess there's a little – was there a timeout after that, or was the decision – did the decision have to be made rather quickly to go for two?
I made that decision pretty quickly. Lacey called the timeout when they see me bring the offense on the field. I mean, I have a lot of trust in my offensive line. To get that yard and a half after the day they were having, and it helps to have a 210-pound Wildcat quarterback behind that offensive line.
So the Wildcat was
the formation. Yep, and some jet motion with it with Muratore. So you had to figure out if Muratore had the ball or Ray Federuso, and Ray got it. Ray got it in. You know, our third boys did a great job establishing the run game early and often, especially in the third and fourth quarter. So I felt 100% confident we can get that yard and a half that we needed to get.
You can see the video, by the way, of that two-point conversion on our website, shoresportsnetwork.com, under the videos of the week. And, I know you had no doubt about it, but actually the officials had a little doubt before they raised their arms. Were you a little bit nervous at first?
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, no, here we go. There we go. But I don't think, whether we got it or we didn't, I wouldn't have any regrets. You know, I trust those guys to get it. If they don't get it, We didn't get it, but at that point I thought we were moving the ball pretty good, and we were going to go for it right there.
Talking with Brick Green Dragon head coach Rob Dahl, his team with the big game tomorrow night at home against Jackson Memorial for the A-South Championship. You know, obviously people who have followed Brick football or even opponents know one of the things when you come into that stadium is you see the flags, all the flags on top of the stand signifying championships. You guys have not hung one since 2008. It was Coach Wolf's last year when you won a division title. How much would it mean to you, your coaches, and your players to get to add a championship?
It would mean the world to them. I mean, that has been our motto since last year. You know, after coming off a bad year last year, we got the whole team together, and we just discussed in November, you know, what kind of commitment it would take to get this program back on the map where we need to be, have the alumni guys, Coach Wolf, and everybody else be proud of us, you know, how this, and more importantly, how this group of boys wanted to be remembered. And then we told them the only way that they could be remembered is if they were able to hang a flag up there. And they can come back with their kids in 20, 25 years from now and say, that's my flag, and I want it. So I think it means a lot every time they step down Dragon Way and they walk up to that field and they see those flags flying. They know that they want one, and that's been the ambition all year. And that's been the drive all year, is to get a flag. Let's get a flag, and this will be how you're going to be remembered. Get that flag and make the town proud again.
Coach, you know, as far as the states are concerned, you are in a unique situation because you're going to have all your games done before the playoffs start. That's a good feeling to have. And how much of a good feeling is it to sit back and know that everybody else in that bracket and that Central Jersey Group 4 is fighting for the second spot? The Dragons are controlling their destiny as the top seed in that bracket.
Oh, it's definitely good. I mean, we feel that we play really good at home. You know, we haven't lost a game at home all year. And to have that locked up is definitely a relief. And the fact that if we do what we need to do, you know, we don't have to play a Thanksgiving game because we didn't get a bye week, and so we can concentrate on whoever we might be playing for 2 weeks. You know, we're going to take it one game at a time, start with Jackson tomorrow, but
sure.
I kind of know what you're getting at with the playoff system, and to have 2 weeks to prepare and possibly have like a Mid-South or Colts Neck have to stop and play a Thanksgiving game, well, that's definitely an advantage to us, and I think our kids did a good job of earning, and our coaches did a great job of earning that number one spot and putting us in a great position so we can do that in the playoffs.
Rob, one more, and that is the team you'll play tomorrow night, Jackson Memorial. They're not fancy. I think you know what's going to happen. They're going to run Glover and Bradley a little bit, and really the key to this game, I'm sure, for you defensively is can you stop their running game?
Yeah, definitely. You know, they're a very physical team on both sides of the ball, well-coached. You know, great D and explosive O with Glover and Bradley back there, like you said. And, yeah, it's going to be a physical game. I think our boys are looking forward to it. And, you know, it's old-school Jackson. If you could stop the run, you're going to have success. If not, it could be a very long night. And I'm friends with a couple of the coaches over there, and we're really looking forward to it. We've been going back and forth all week with some friendly text messages.
Well, we're looking forward to being there tomorrow night. There should be a feeling at the home of the Green Dragons that maybe has not existed for a few years because a championship is on the line. Rob, thank you so much for giving us a few minutes tonight. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
All right, you too. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, guys. Have a great night.
All right. Brick coach Rob Dahl. So that is you know, nothing like last week, regular season, a game that decides a championship. Nothing else. You're not watching the scoreboard. Nothing else matters. Two teams. One leaves
winner
the field the
all.
Champion. The other team, you know, leaves with their heads down.
And isn't it great, you know, with the question I asked about the 9 straight? Shouldn't all teams be like that? Yeah, that's how the playoffs should be.
Of course it should be.
Of course.
You know, Brick has not won a division title since 2008. Jackson has not won since they won a state championship as well as 2005. So for both those programs with good history,
it's a long time.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
It has been a while.
Should be fun.
All right. Well, you know what's fun? When we get towards the end and we make our our six-pack plus one picks brought to you by Bob Considine and Don Shearer's Allstate Agency at the corner of Lacey Road and Route 9 in Forked River. Just because you're insured, you're going to have to wait. I sent them out just because you didn't get them in Mexico. You're not looking at ours.
I had all my emails down there. Well, I didn't get them.
Oh, we sent the picks, right, Matt? You got them. Just because you're insured doesn't mean you're protected. All right, here we go. Last week, by the way, Scott and I were both 6-1. Matt was 5-2. Ed, a real bump on the road at 4-3. For the season, Matt has 41 right. He's 2 up on me. I've moved into second. Ed and Scott are both 3 games back, but this is a make-it-or-break-it week, and we'll start not with the game we're doing tomorrow night. We'll save that for a little bit later. We'll start with a game we talked about a little bit earlier. And that is a big one as Manasquan travels to Rumson, two teams ranked at everyone's top five. Ed, I'm going to let you sit a little while because you're a late arriver. Both Scott and I went with the whole team. Matt, we like Rumson.
Yeah, I'm going to take Rumson, too. I did go back and forth on this game. I think it's going to be a great game. I mean, I think that game has the makings of a real solid one. These teams have actually developed a pretty good rivalry over the course of the last 5 or 6 years, but I think playing at home gives Rumson just a little bit of an edge.
I'm going to go with Manasquan in an upset.
All right. Trying to make up some ground. That's okay. Neptune and Wall, interesting game. Both teams are 3-4. Both look like they're headed for the playoffs, by the way.
Regardless.
This a good one in that always entertaining, low-scoring class. B North and Matt, I'm going to let you go first.
As we kind of said, there's a lot of toss-up games. I think this is one.
So
I kind of worry a little bit about Wall just emotionally after the effort they put into the Ocean game last week, which kind of leads me to say I'll take Neptune.
Scott and I both went with Neptune as well.
Oh, boy.
It's a tough week.
Yeah, that is. I'll take Neptune also.
Okay. In a Class B South game, and again, sometimes we pick games just because they appear to be somewhat of a toss-up. Monsignor Donovan licking their wounds a little bit after the loss to Central last week, gets ready to visit Jackson Liberty. Under the radar, the Lions put together themselves 3 wins, so things going pretty good. Ed, who do you like?
I'm going to take Monsignor Donovan in this way. They are on their way to the playoffs, and I'll take them.
I'll take Mondon on that one also.
All right. I take Mondon, but Scott Stump goes with the home team, Jackson Liberty. Big one in Class A North. Colts Neck visits Middletown South, where a loss by the Eagles would drop them to 4-4 on the season. Both Scott and I go with Colts Neck.
Yeah, both teams going to the playoffs. I'm going to take Middletown South to win at home.
I'll take Colts Neck.
Brick Memorial visits Lacey. This a Saturday afternoon game. The Lions really licking their ball. Both teams licking their wounds, but Lacey really had one in the W column last week. Lose it in the last minute. Can they bounce back? Scott took Brick Memorial. I'm not jumping off Lacey yet. They play hard every week. You know one thing is they're going to put some points on the board. Matt, who do you like?
I'm going to take Lacey too, Kevin. Same kind of thought. I mean, I've picked them the last couple of weeks. I feel like at this point I might as well kind of ride it out, even though they're in a rough stretch.
Yeah, they're in a free fall, Lacey, right now, 3 in a row. I think Brick Memorial maybe can control the ball and keep it away from the Lacey offense. I'll take the Mustangs.
Saturday afternoon, a reeling Southern Regional team really got banged up last week in a game we did against Jackson. Visits Toms of Reese. The Rams need a win to have any chance of getting that 8th and final spot in South Jersey Group 5. Do they get it, Ed?
I think they do, the Rams.
Both Scott and I, in upsets, take Toms of Reese. My reason is simple. I just think Southern's so banged up.
Yeah, they are banged up. You know, the one question is obviously whether or not Logan Sheehan is going to play in that game. We don't really know if they're going to. I'm a little concerned about Southern being able to stop the run of Toms of Reese, but I think the fact that they need a win will kind of push them just a little bit. I'll take Southern.
Yeah, I think it's a toss-up game. We'll see what happens. And then finally, the game will broadcast tomorrow night on 105.7 The Hawk. The Class A South Championship is on the line. The green and white, the red and black. In Brick, the Green Dragons hosting Jackson Memorial. Who wins the A South Championship, Matt Harmon?
Jackson.
Brick. XR Luca.
Brick.
Scott Stump went with Jackson. I am going with Brick. I just kind of feel sometimes it's meant to be, and that way they beat Lacey last week. I do think this is a total toss-up game. I'd be stunned if this game isn't on the line in the fourth quarter. So we're going to split on that one. Two take Brick, two take Jackson. I think that kind of sums up the game,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Does. Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So that is that
surprised
is
surprised you left the Civil War out this week.
I did. I you know, I guess we could have thrown it. You
big
make
favorite. Big favorite.
Yeah.
I think South wins that game, but you know,
it's been 12 years.
I think it do, but I would have to say this is the first time we haven't had that in 12 years as one of our picks.
And that game was also our game on the broadcast schedule, but the chance to do a championship game always at the end of the year, we try and pick up the game that does have the most significance, and no question about it, Jackson and Brick is the big one. Next week, guys, when we reconvene, we'll be previewing the state playoffs. We'll be talking about the opening round of the state playoffs, which short teams have the best chance of going the furthest. What are the interesting matchups in week one? So next week it'll all be playoffs. But this is regular season football, and again, this is a big, big weekend highlighted by that Jackson-Brick game. But there's plenty of others, plenty of interesting sidelights to this this weekend. Teams like Modern Day Prep, looking to put a winning record on the board. Lakewood, can they build off that win last week over Barnegat and Hand Point Borough? By the way, their ninth straight loss. That would be rather amazing. As a matter of fact, here's the one that was pointed out to me by Steve Falk of the Asbury Park Press that I thought was really rather interesting. There are only two winless teams in the Shore Conference, and they are actually two of the better programs that with the most success, especially in the last 10 or 15 years, Toms River North and Point Borough.
Yeah, it's strange
tough seasons.
Things run in cycles, guys. You know that. We've been around long enough to see that. Toms River South a couple years ago was 0-10. So it does happen. Want to thank our guest as we sort of get to the end of tonight's show. From Rumson, Brian Batchelor and Charlie Volker, Ron Signorino Jr. and Darius Hart from Toms River South, Brick coach Rob Dahl, Kevin Callahan, Scott Stump, of course, to Tom Tremblay here and Ray Malaspina back at our studios for the usual great job. Ed, good to have you back.
Thank you.
Glad to see you didn't get sick in Mexico. Matt, always good to see you. Tomorrow night, we'll look to bring you a good one. Good night, everyone.